Good evening and welcome to this week's Pinken Show, our dedicated Canaries shenanigans, where Wesley Moulahan has already decided she's a Teemu Pukki fan. Dave, like that one. I'm Michael Bailey. We are here at the Woolpack Public House in the centre of Norwich. We are live, of course, and over the next 30 minutes or so, we will wrap up the Big Baggies talking points, rejoice at another cup run, and work out if last Thursday really was the worst transfer deadline day in history. And we will do it all of this in the company of our delightful duo tonight, who are my Norwich City covering colleague at the Eastern Daily Press, David Freezer, and City Stato columnist and occasional fourth official, David Spud Thornhill. Great to have you both on. Gentlemen, how are you doing? Spud, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Always better when you finally see a win in the first of a season, even if it was Stevenage.
This is it. Only the cup. We'll get one in the league and we'll be a lot happier.
That's it. Well, hopefully we'll start again on Saturday and get the ball rolling then.
That's good. Has that made quite a thing of your little girl on Twitter, which is lovely. Now you're a dad. Has she seen her first game yet?
Oh, she's done one game last season. Yeah. That was a pre-season friendly against Brighton.
Okay.
So, it won't be long.
So she saw a Marley Watkins goal?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even think about that, yes.
Collector's item already, yeah. Make sure she retells that story a lot. No. Dave, how are you? You all right?
Yeah, fine. Catching up with real life, really, after last night's match. You know, we had a bit of adventures at the end of the night, didn't we, with a fire alarm in a massive building that the only two of us were us. We were a bit worried we were going to get caught up or accused or something, didn't we?
We basically, there was us two, stood at about, what was it, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning outside Prospect House, wondering what to do. But fortunately, apparently some people turned off the alarms because they still weren't going when we got in this morning. So there we go. Thankfully, indeed. Right, so we are live, as we said, at pinken.com and the Pinken Facebook page. And we want to hear from you too, be it on your pluses and minuses from last night's Carabao Cup win against Stevenage, having a singing section, want to hear about that, who you want in the next round, that draw is tomorrow night, Remy Matthews' Bolton exit, and especially what City should do on Saturday to mark the latest instalment of the disrespect derby with Sheffield United. Getting the team coach to turn up late again is definitely my suggestion. You can get all those through to us here in the pub. All you need to do is post your words through on the Facebook feed and they will ping right through to my iPhone. For example, Barry Brown, hello. Mark Hilton, hello. Joachim Broberg, hello. Dan Smith, hello, although he's there. Andrew Reeve, hello. And Craig Brooks, keep up the good work. We will, Craig, we will. So get your messages coming through. Now, with Wesley Moulahan turning down all advances of relocation to Australia, it means she is still here to toe the line and help us out with this week's headlines. Although, breaking news, someone at the office, I'm not happy by the way, has nicked the bell. I don't really know who Argent Towers would need Wesley Moulahan's bell, so therefore, Dave Freezer is going to clink his little glass and hopefully not smash it. Let's see how this goes. Here are this week's headlines. That's a cautious start, Dave. Well done. 7-goal spiller. Krull chucks one in and Rhodes rolls one back. Just your standard Canaries home debut tales to tell, then. West Brom were let off the hook in a big way on Saturday. It's a difficult August for Norwich, so hopefully they won't live to regret it. Hit for six! City did at least make it 6 goals in their opening 2 home games and booked their spot in the second round of the Carabao Cup with victory over League 2 Stevenage. We can only dream of what the draw has in store for us this time. The regionalised draw takes place on Thursday evening and Norwich could, of course, face Ipswich Town. Oh, no, sorry, no, they can't. Remy trots on. He wasn't given the first team berth he hoped for, so Remy Matthews decided he wanted out of the club he called home for 14 years. The Gulston bred keeper joined Bolton on loan in a surprise Sunday move that will become permanent in January. We'll all be watching to see how he gets on beyond his debut defeat at Leeds last night. And finally, does it make you feel old too? Does it?
I'm always feeling old.
Congratulations, Max Ahrens, the City youngster, not only completed his full competitive debut for the Canaries last night, the Academy product, aged 18, became a pub quiz answer from here on in as the first Norwich City player born in the 21st century. You've made us all realise our own age there, Max. Fair play. Oh, Dave, one more. I'm a horrible creature of habit. Well done, Dave. Fair play to Judy Trivett as well for the stat last night. She broke that to all of us, and we were very, very grateful indeed. And not only that, of course, Max plays pretty well too last night. Let's start with the game last night, shall we? Well, job done against Stevenage, basically. Cup game, progress, and that's it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a stickler. I'm not a great fan of these early round ties because everyone thinking, oh, we should be beating them 5 or 6 nil or something like that, stupid like that. Stevenage, I thought they came here and were fantastic. They got their big players up front and appeared at a big all round the pitch. Yeah. But yeah, no, they done a fantastic job, and they had the first team as eight. We had like our reserves or second 11, whatever you want to call it. They done a fantastic job, and it was going to be a frustrating night, which it proved, and job done, really, innit?
It is. It was a second string, Dave. There would have been a few people who were hoping to press a claim and obviously not necessarily get in for the game at Sheffield United, but at least raise their expectations. But did that really happen last night with anyone?
I wouldn't have said so. I wouldn't have thought anybody's going to be in the team on Saturday on the basis of what happened last night, really. You know, that's a big ask of them with 10 changes. And frankly, I wasn't that keen on the lineup. You've got 4 attacking midfielders and none of them are wingers. And I found it quite odd that Marcus Stieperman, who we have seen play as left back or left wing back, wasn't on the left because he was the only one that we've sort of seen play as in a type of wide role. But I did feel a bit sorry for Todd Cantwell because he's not a left winger. He is more of a playmaker type, a central attack midfielder. And the same with Mo Leitner. He's not a right winger. They should have been central. But I think Max Aaron's probably comes out with maybe the most credit just because he had to get stuck in at left back when, you know, he's not left footed. That's his first professional game. So fair play to him. He survived.
They did survive, and you almost forget, because we've seen a lot of them in pre-season, that they haven't played a competitive game. You almost get conditioned to have seen them without really maybe twigging where they are. I'm sure we'll come on to a lot in terms of the formation and some of the issues, because they tie in nicely with Saturday too, but it could always be worse. I mean, Norwich did get through, Ipswich didn't, and you know, are you keeping an interested eye over what's happening south of the border? Because Paul Hurst had a little bit of a dig at some of his players yesterday.
I must admit, I did watch the recording of his interview and all that. Am I right in saying the game is a few days, the second round's a few days before the derby?
Yes, indeed. Yes, it is.
Ooh. So, yeah, so they'll be a bit more fresher than us, maybe, unless we put another second string out.
Yes, well, that'd be quite, that's a really good point, isn't it, David? I mean, what do you think it'll do?
I think it's almost certain to be, unless they get a tough draw, where Daniel feels he's going to have to put out some better players. You know, if you go into Southampton or Bournemouth away from home or something, you can't put out the kids there, really, can you? But although I suppose the Premier League team's not going to play their full strength either, but you cannot go into the Ipswich game on the back of a bad result unless you can help it.
Well, in that case, let's just confirm that the draw takes place on Thursday evening. It's before Sunderland v Sheffield Wednesday, so sometime after 7 o'clock. The Southern draw numbers, because it's still a north-south divide. Norwich are number 15 in the draw. Number 15 in the draw, and they could draw Bournemouth, Wimbledon, Brentford, Brighton, Bristol Rovers, Cardiff, Cheltenham, Crystal Palace, Exeter, Forest Green, Fulham, Millwall, MK Dons, Newport, Oxford, Plymouth, QPR, Reading, Southampton, Swansea, Watford, West Ham, Wickham. Spud, who do you want?
Well, as you're probably aware, that I have done the 92 grounds. So there's no new grounds unless we get Tottenham further on. But I try and do all the new grounds with Norwich, new grounds with Norwich, and I think at the 92 I'm on 79. Just noticed on there's 4 grounds available. So yeah, someone like Forest Green or Oxford, that'd be very nice away, or save the pennies, someone at home.
So what you were saying, Dave, let's get someone from a lower level at home.
Ideally, yeah, because then you can play a similar team to you played the other night and you get another chance for Aarons and Cantwell and Godfrey to impress or whoever. And of course, you then got the loan deadline a few days after it. So that could be your last opportunity to look at Aarons or Cantwell. But I knew you'd say Forest Green. That would be a fun trip because, I mean, Norwich never played Forest Green, have they? Newport, they've sort of never played because the club reformed, didn't they, in the 80s? So Norwich haven't played Newport since 1960, I think it is, and AFC Wimbledon is similar as well. They've never played AFC Wimbledon, but of course they played the real Wimbledon loads of times back in the day. So there's some interesting stories, but Southampton away or Bournemouth away would be horrible.
We're going to have a really busy week that week, aren't we? I can see it now. It's going to be a very busy week. At West Brom, how much of a missed opportunity was that, Dave?
It was, and then they only had themselves to blame, frankly. You know, Jordan Rhodes should have had a hat-trick in the first half. Poor penalty, we've been over that a lot. Alex Tetti gives away the ball. Tim Krul somehow chucks it into his net. That's a game they should have won, and they found a way not to. So that is very frustrating. But I still think they deserve a little bit of patience, because when you look at that team, you've got Krul, Hanley, Tetti, Pinto, Rhodes as well had a bit of a disrupted preseason. They all aren't fully up to speed and match fit yet. And I think if you can get this squad fully up to speed and match sharp, then this, you know, if they play like that, they're gonna beat the lesser teams of, you know, sorry Spud, but a Rotherham or a Bolton or a Wigan at Carrow Road. They should be beating teams like that comfortably. You're not gonna come up against the quality of a West Brom every week.
No, it's a difficult month, isn't it? And we're going to touch on that too.
Well, every game's difficult. I know, a bit of a cliche and all that. So, yeah, I just think they're all the same. But one thing I will say about last week's game was how impressive players like Hernandez and Marshall play. And like you say, getting the players up to speed and all that. Them chances, what were provided, they weren't put away last season. They wouldn't have been put away. And I've got a feeling it's going to be a lot better than it was last season.
I mean, the thing for me, Norwich have taken the lead twice in their two home games, and they really struggled to do that last year. I appreciate one of them was in the cup, but, you know, at least that's a good starting point. I know Hernandez changed the game last night as well when he came on, yes. So there we go. Let's have a look at some messages, shall we? Mark Hilton, disappointed with Remy's departure. He was a big star at Plymouth last season. Is he not a ball player and thus not to Farker's taste? We'll definitely come on to Remy in a moment, Mark. Lee Coates, why don't we play with three at the back with wing backs? I'm guessing, Lee, it's in the pipeline, but I don't know how much Farker likes it. He likes his 4-1-4-1 at the moment. Clive Jolly, how poor were we till Lonel came on last night? Cantwell needs a loan out for sure, a prospect, but very lightweight. Bring on Mick McCarthy doing the draw tomorrow night. Probably a good job that Ipswich fans still in it then, if he's doing the draw last night. Right, keep your messages coming in, and we'll go through a few more in a moment. There was, of course, loads of analysis following both games at Carrow Road over at pinken.com, including Paddy Davitt's player ratings from City's West Brom defeat. If you missed them, here they are. So we touched on the goals and the encouragement there, and El Hernandez too. I mean, Dave, we saw a bit of pre-season, but even then it kind of surprised me just how much of an influence he's having on the squad at the moment. And is that because he's the only one with any pace, to put it bright bluntly? Because, I mean, surely that is probably the one thing they're really short of at the moment.
At the moment, he's the only one who looks like a proper winger. Yeah, I don't think Buendia is really a proper winger either, is he? I think, as things stand, I would probably like to see Ben Marshall on the other side as well as the other winger. And probably it looks like Ivo Pinto's career here is back on track, perhaps under Daniel. They've realised they need him at the moment. And if you had Ivo behind Marshall, I think that would be a pretty decent right flank. But yeah, O'Neill is so exciting. He's really switched on. He's obviously had a good summer. He's come back in great shape. Pre-season's gone well. His confidence is absolutely flying, because you're right. He just, as soon as he was on the pitch last night against Stevenage, it alerted the crowd, didn't it? Everybody was on the edge of their seats.
Didn't they?
Yeah, so that gave that little bit of impact. And you know, just hope he can continue in this vein of form.
It's all about the end product, which is the thing that just seems to have just catapulted since last season. It was a really quiet deadline day, wasn't it, Fred? I mean, we kind of sat here last week just completely anticipating that, and thus it happened. But then we had the surprise on Sunday, Remy Matthews going out on loan to Bolton. It's going to be made permanent in January, so that's that. How surprised were you? What sort of went through your mind when you saw that?
Yeah, I was surprised by it. It is worrying how for so many years we've had all these potentially fantastic goalkeepers, but they never make that final step. But I suppose it's been there for 14 years. it's surprising that he is 24, and I suppose if he doesn't feel he's ready yet, when is he going to be ready? Wish him all the best, especially as he's a Norfolk boy. Hopefully not when he play against us.
Well, if he plays against Norwich, because he's got Ben Anik to try and beat up at Bolton. I mean Robert Green, I guess, and obviously the irony is Angus Gunn is as good as anything Norwich have produced to a degree. It's just that they stopped producing him after 2011. But I mean, I guess there's been fallout there. I always got the impression that Norwich wanted to keep Remy and see what they could do with him next year. But clearly that wasn't going to be the plan once it all kind of unravelled in the summer.
No, I guess we all look at it through that prism of local lad, don't we, an academy product. But at the end of the day, Daniel Farker has to look at it as who's my best goalkeeping option. And he has had a look at Remy in pre-season, hasn't he? And there was a dodgy goal against Lincoln, which Sean Ragan could take as much blame for, but it still went in. And then against Union Berlin, there was a mix-up with Ben Godfrey as well. And those two moments seem to have knocked Farker's confidence in what Remy could do. And also his sort of use of the ball, he wasn't the same as Tim Krul is and Angus Gunn was last year. So it's a ruthless game. All these guys come through, you know, you talk about Joe Lewis, Jed Steer, you know, you can reel off a number of goalkeepers. They played at England youth levels and whatever. But then once it gets to the first team, if your first team coach doesn't rate you, then you're not going to play, are you?
What have you made of the homegrown rules as well, Spud? Because we, you know, we've seen Tom Tribal wasn't involved against West Brom, wasn't it? I think because of the rules, and before that, it's been a really difficult selection for Daniel.
Well, I've done a bit on my in the paper about on Saturday.
This is your column in the Eastern Daily Press, Fred.
Yeah. And I'm a little bit worried, thinking like, I don't know when was the idea of the rules going to come in, but I imagine it would have been before last January. We had 3 players come in then. We've had 7 players come in this summer, so 7-10 players. And I think I worked out we've only had 3 British players. So, yeah, you got to trust Farker and Webber behind it. But that is worrying that we've got all those players in, and a lot of them aren't homegrown players.
I mean, and that puts the pressure on the homegrown players, I suppose, being around. And ideally, the planning is that Norwich, in a year or two's time, will have this under-23 academy conveyor belt so that they do have those players coming through, because I guess the homegrown market is that much more expensive, and teams need that. But Norwich do seem to have this as more of an issue than maybe some other clubs do.
They do, and it feels like we've been talking about it for quite a while already, doesn't it? I mean, I guess there's probably a few people who don't sort of associate with the full rules, and you know, you've got sort of Tim Krul who counts as a homegrown player, which is a bit odd, and Grant Hanley as well, despite being Scottish, it counts. So they are walking the tightrope, but the one thing is, at the end of the day, what's the punishment? You lose one sub, so it's not, you can manage with 6 subs if it really comes to it, but let's hope it never happens.
I didn't realise Tim Krul's homegrown.
Yeah, because he was with Newcastle from 18. So.
Of course, yeah, makes sense now, yeah.
There's always a fudge around it, but don't worry about that. Okay, so Lorne Smybert, let's get through some of your messages. Lorne Smybert, hi all. How well are the drinks going down? Should really read these messages first. I hope to see Jamal Lewis back on Saturday and a clean sheet, but is that wishful thinking? Also, who are you trying to kid with that orange juice? Bet there's some vodka in it. It's pineapple juice, mate. And there's no vodka in it. Jamal Lewis back on Saturday. I kind of half wondered if he'd get 20 minutes on Tuesday night.
Couldn't put him on, could you? They needed McLean, Pookie and Hernandez. It wasn't the situation to chuck Jamal into, despite the fact that you had Max Aarons at left back. But unfortunately, I think that probably rules him out of Saturday. You know, Sheffield United's going to be a tough game, but who do you play at left back for me? It's a real problem position at the moment for me.
I'd be surprised if it's James Husband, but you know, I've been surprised before. Billy Craddock, I agree with Lee Coates. 3 centre backs with wing backs, 5-3-2 formation, which of course it worked last season. Dean Bowman, any news on Nelson Oliveira? Winky face. I don't know. Does that mean you know any news on Dean? Not as far as I know. Has he gone anywhere? No one's shaking their head. Not yet. Give it until the end of August. He's obviously still available. If people want to come in for him. Simon Formby, who will be top goal scorer this season, Pookie, Rhodes or Hernandez? Give us a name.
Oh, I was going to say Rhodes. So yeah, I'll stick with Rhodes then.
Yeah, I'll go with Rhodes as well, but he needs to sharpen up.
He will do.
Can't give away penalties like that. It's a free hit. Steve Wells, how long do you think it will take for this squad to gel? Cool, that's an open-ended question, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, it is a new look squad, isn't it? That's the thing. Everyone's sort of like, it's Farker's second season, but it's not the second season with the same squad. There are fresh issues and new changes. So, yeah, I think it could take a dozen games until we really see that, what this team is capable of. And unfortunately for some people, they're not willing to wait another 12 games to see what Daniel Farke can do. So that would get pretty tetchy. So let's hope they can get enough points in those dozen games or so to sort of keep Daniel bubbling away and safe.
I must admit that is worrying when you think, like, say, you won't be moving forward and you're saying about the 12 games. We need to be getting up and ready, because if not, we'll be slacking behind. And do we start again next season?
It is startling how few players who started the first two games of last season started the first two of this season. And we're not allowed... Well, I don't want to talk about transition. Everyone's bored of it and bored of the patience. But you can't then ignore the fact that there has been so much change in the squad. Daniel needs to be quick at working through it, definitely. Joachim Broberg, very high rated from the good Mr. Davitt. They did lose, though. That's, of course, talking about Padsa ratings. I thought that said very hydrated from the good Mr. Davitt, but that's probably your beer talking there, Ben. So there we go. Keep the messages coming in. We'll keep going through those as we can. But before all that, let's get a bit of this, shall we? Yes, it's Flip the Bird, our chaotic bar game that could yet end up as the halftime entertainment at Carrow Road. Last week, our 2018 joint champion, Steve Cook, crumbled under the pressure of second season syndrome, sorry Steve, to score 7, 5 down on his previous best. Ed Young clocked 5, sitting him with Dan O'Hagan and Di Cunningham in this season's standings. Last season, Dave, you got 6. Spud, you got 4.
I didn't get 6.
You didn't get 6?
I got 12, and then you halved the scores.
But you did get 12 in a minute. So let's just say you do have half the time this time. So
I haven't done this since then.
Oh my shit. Yeah. Have you done this since last season?
Actually, no.
No. Yeah, you've been in the pub every day. No.
I was competitive.
At least I love how everyone gets ready. The basic word is, it's not going to take much, gents, for you to improve and get quite high up in the score. Not wishing to put the pressure on. In short, the guys have 30 seconds to flip as many bar mats as possible, adding one to their flipping pile with each successful one-handed catch. Both scores will find their way onto our leaderboard, while the winner tonight will get a much prized selfie with Wesley Moulahan if she fancies it. Ready?
Yep.
These guys have been ready for about 3 minutes. Dan's ready. Go on then, Dan.
3, 2, 1. Go!
And away we go. Spud's flipped one, but it's gone on the floor. He's looking nervous while Dave is just quietly ticking them over. You can have that one. I'll give it one. Oh, he's bent one as well. We're going to run out of these bar mats at some point, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not sure these are all legal. Hang on, what are you doing? That's a pile, Spud. That's a pile. That's just... Oh, okay.
Oh, no.
You're on about one at the moment.
Don't
worry about that, Nave. Don't worry about that, Dave. Just keep him tick on. Two.
Stop.
Well, I'm going to have to have... I mean, I'm not sure about this at all. And I've never once intervened. But I was watching that, Spud, and that was pretty horrific, to be honest.
After the first 3 or 4, when they went... you got to feel sorry for me.
Well, I do feel sorry for you, but yeah. Rules are rules.
I lost one.
You lost one. What have you got there, though, Dave?
5. There should have been 6.
What have you got there, Spud?
5.
Well, I might take one off. So you can have 4. You can have a 4.
What was going on to my left? I couldn't see.
It wasn't Flip the Bird, I can tell you that much. Well done, gents. Thanks for joining in anyway. We love it. That's our ideal halftime. See, what that should happen at Carrow Road, shouldn't it? Big screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Instead of hitting the crossbar, it should be this.
Maybe Tampa Bay would like to sponsor. Visit Tampa. Sponsor Flip the Bird. We'll all go.
Maybe people need to do a few Jaeger bombs first or something to really amp it up.
Or just pineapple juice. That's fine too. Right, we'll sort out a selfie at some point. But in the meantime, let's have a squidge, shall we, at the Norwich City notice board, if I may. 2 points on here so far that we've flagged up and noticed, although this one has been a recurring theme. The excellent Norwich City Fan Social Club, they have a cracking night tomorrow, it is, with a live forum led by my old mustard cohort Darren Eady, alongside City's managing director Steve Stone and sporting director Stuart Webber at Carrow Road. Just £3 on the door for adults, a kid for quids. a quid for... it's been a long day. It's that fire alarm. A quid for under 16s. Don't miss it. It'll be a good night. You can be there, Dave?
I don't know if I can make it yet, but I'm hoping... I haven't been to one yet, and I do every time I want to go, and I end up not going, but sometimes you do have to pay attention to your better half as well at times, don't you?
I said, Dave, I'll be loitering in the background. You going to bed?
I'm going to be turning up late because I'm working till late.
Brilliant.
And then I'll turn up afterwards.
I'll see if I can sort everyone clapping you in as you arrive. here's one for Anel Hernandez. Here's to him for making the day of Chris Penrose's 8-year-old boy, Freddie, by handing him his shirt after City's win over Stevenage last night. Great stuff. Keep that one off eBay, guys. Keep that one. Frame it on your wall. And if there are any tweets, stories, events, or groups of a Norwich City nature that you want to flag up, then let us know via all the usual social media channels. Or, of course, you can send us an email. The address is thepinken@archant.co.uk. So, it is starting to get busy. Here is the championship picture following the weekend's action. Villa and Middlesbrough won again, while Leeds picked up the result of the weekend. City's silver lining was the last-minute defeat for Ipswich at Paul Warne's Rotherham. Thanks, Dan. And Sheffield United came from behind to beat QPR. So Borough remain a point clear at the top from a game more than most. Villa, Leeds and Swansea hold the only 100% records after two games. Norwich slipped to 13th, but of course it's still early days. QPR and Reading are the only two sides without a point, although Rotherham in 13th have the joint worst goal difference alongside the Blades, who are 12th. It's a busy week ahead, with most of the division facing two games. City head to Bramall Lane, of course, while Friday's opener will be interesting given City's result at St Andrews on the opening weekend. Ipswich host Villa. Rotherham have a daunting task at Leeds, and City can have a look at Preston come Saturday evening. That's because Alec Neil's side visit Carrow Road on Wednesday, which means you'll have to follow a game of football rather than the Pinken Show next week. Ipswich head to Derby on the Tuesday night, when Swansea host Leeds. Marcelo Bielsa's Flyers are then the visitors to Carrow Road the following Saturday. Yeah, it is. It's getting busy. We've got two games in the space of the week, gents. What have you made of the championship so far? I know it's early days, but there's some great stories here. And can we read much into the table, even though we're literally 2-3 games in? Teletext wouldn't have even published this table 10 years ago.
No, they wouldn't. It's nice to see that my normal good prediction has come true. I said Stoke would win the title and they're in the relegation zone.
Early doors.
No, there's no really massive surprises there. You'd look at the top six now and there wouldn't be much difference coming near the end of the season, would there?
Funny, because that's the second weekend we've said that, and it's so early in the season. But I guess if a side is good, they're going to win games throughout the season, aren't they, Dave?
That's how it tends to work, yeah. I'm very much looking forward to seeing Leeds fall apart. I can't see this Bielsa kick lasting, but you never know. I mean,
but he does go to watch the under-23s games.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. I've never seen Norwich City manager watch an under-23s game. Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from a wider English football perspective, you want Leeds in the top flight eventually, because they're a massive club, aren't they? I mean, you just had to look at our counterpart at the Yorkshire Post. Phil Hay has over 100,000 followers on Twitter. That shows how big Leeds are. That's something that I always think of. But I didn't actually realise where Norwich were in the table, because I hadn't looked. It is totally irrelevant at this point. And Stoke will not finish 22nd, will they? They've got a squad which is far too good for that. Borough had a bit of a dodgy night in the Cup last night, didn't they? They were behind three times against Notts County before getting through on penalties, I think. But Villa are one that are slightly surprising me. That they look like they might have sort of in very quick time managed to turn around their takeover and get some investment in and actually stabilise things under Steve Bruce, because they've got an incredible squad there. If they can stabilise things enough, then Brucey could get them promoted.
It was so funny over the summer, because we all go, this Villa in crisis, blah blah blah, and then they rock up for the first game of the season. You look at their squad and you're like, oh, hello. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of quality there, and I hate to say it, probably looks like they'll probably get away with taking a massive gamble, but that's kind of how it works, isn't it?
Yeah, like I say, but there's a lot of big teams up there. I know it's a bit of a cliche and all that, but only three teams get promoted. A little sneaky bit of part of me does want Villa to fail again, because it's just because the money they spent, and they feels like they've got away with it. So,
but. I'm mentioning the bottom two. I mean, yeah, Stoke might not finish in that bottom three, sorry, but QPR and Reading, I think, could be candidates for struggling. They've had difficult summers in a way, and they seem to be in difficult positions. But if a few changes at QPR today in terms of around the board, around the board as well. At Rotherham, Dave?
Who appointed Steve McLaren, which I would imagine every Championship fan would say is a terrible appointment.
Yeah, indeed. So Steve might be getting a little bit twitchy already. How about Rotherham? What's the plans for Rotherham this season?
I don't envision them to struggle, really, because there is other clubs there who have got bigger problems. I.e., we've talked about QPR and Reading. You can add Birmingham and Hull to the equation. And I actually can see them finishing below Rotherham. So I think my second love will be okay.
Oh, which, of course, would be awesome for Warniola. So that would be good. And am I right in thinking Hull knocked out Sheffield United last night on penalties? I don't know how Bramall Lane will cope with that, but we'll get onto that in a moment.
Billy Sharp scored again, didn't he? Two goals in two games for Billy Sharp. Put a chance in front of him, that guy will finish it.
I mean, Norwich were quite fortunate that Sheffield United didn't have any strikers, did they, in the return fixture last season, because they were all injured and Ched Evans had to play and he was basically crocked. So, but let's not worry about that just yet. We'll get there in a moment. It is a very difficult month for Norwich. They've got, as I said, we've got Leeds coming up. They end the month at Ipswich, which is going to be a very intriguing fixture, a post-Mick McCarthy era, of course. And it's Preston this coming Wednesday at Carrow Road, which you'll remember fondly from last season, won't you, Spud? I can't remember what happened in the game, but I remember you holding up a board with 10 minutes on it.
very, very good, exciting afternoon. Strange with all the attention I had afterwards, especially when I only held the board up twice. Be nice if it happened
again.
It was
your smile, though. Yeah. It was when you put it up and you tried not to smile and it eventually crept
in. Do you know what? That is the only thing I was annoyed about, that I smiled and all that, not being professional enough.
But everyone loved it.
Yeah, and in my jeans, as everyone kept mentioning.
We all know that you had no shirt on under the coat as well, so I think that's right, isn't it? There you go, there's an image for everyone. Brilliant stuff. Whatever messages have we got through here? Now, Chris Bain says, fix that Chelsea typo behind you. Has anyone figured out what the Chelsea typo is behind it? Is he trying to make a joke that I can't get?
Oh, yeah. Chelsea.
Chelsea. Thank you. Good spot, Chris. I'm glad you're paying attention to that. Daniel Wendon, what are your thoughts on Paslak? Good question, because it caught me out when we sort of unveiled that Paslak would be joining, as to how everyone on Twitter, well, I say everyone, a lot of people on Twitter were, wow, what a signing, amazing. And I wasn't really anticipating that, because a lot of people play Football Manager and a lot of them signed him for a lot of money, Dave. Do you play Championship Manager, Spud?
No.
Okay, fair enough. What have you made of him since, though? Because, I mean, he kind of grew into yesterday, but it still looks like we're going to be a little while before he's really challenging.
Yeah, he did. I was worried by him in pre-season, frankly. Defensively, he just didn't look up to it. I did our player watch on him last night, pinker.com for that. You can see basically all the things that happened, and it was a busy night for him. He was involved a lot, but Stevenage, the way they played, as you mentioned earlier, Spud, they had three big guys up front and they did well in pushing the two wide guys onto Aarons and Pasak for when the keeper was kicking the ball forward. So Zimmerman was basically having to win balls in the air for two players and Godfrey on the other side as well. So it's not the ideal one to judge him on, but he was game going forward. He certainly wanted to be involved. He nearly scored at the end. He was sort of involved in Pookie's third, wasn't he? A slightly fortunate bounce, but his persistence helped. And I think it was a game that, if he kicks on and does well, it could be a bit of a turning point for him, because he was on the end of a couple of nasty tackles from Guthrie, which Farker and his coaches were furious about, weren't they? And there was he also got booked for a late tackle. So in terms of getting up to speed with English football, I think last night will have done him a lot of good, but he has got a long way to go, and at the moment I would see him as a wing back rather than a full back.
I'm going to ask you this one, Spud, if I may. Matt Plunkett, how long do you think the board will give Daniel Farker? It's a lovely question, and I guess it all ties into expectations and what Norwich need to do this season, what you want them to do as a season ticket holder, but likewise, don't forget Daniel's out of contract next summer as well.
Yeah, I think it's more of a case of what grief the board will get from the fans, because I always say it's the fans what start it off, and it felt like that when Alex Neil left. It was the pressure from the fans what pushed the board to sack him and all that. So stuff from the, I know I'm dodging the question, but I just feel as if the fans get on his back, I can see the board acting.
And that's always the fans at the ground, isn't it? Never social media. As much as we love discussing it all on social media, it's always a very different kettle of fish when it starts happening at Carrow Road. I'm saying it will. There we go. Craig Brown, Leitner and McLean do create but don't do enough defensively, so are better impact subs for games. And one I should flag up here, Dean Bowman's been back in touch. You should check your messages, Michael. I don't know who sent me a message. Portugal, here he comes. Nelson Oliveira. Sorry, we're doing a show, otherwise I'd check, but we'll come back to that. So there we go, we shall see. Matt Plunkett, do we need to... do you think we will bring in another keeper for backup after, of course, Remy Matthews' departure?
Asked Daniel this on Monday ahead of the Stevenage game, and he said happy with the keepers that he's got, unless Stuart Webber's going to sign Jordan Pickford or Manuel Neuer, which he is well aware is not going to happen. So he bigged up Michael McGovern big time. So it's either they're bigging him up so much because they want to shift him ahead of the deadline, or, you know, he played last night, they are happy with him to see that final year of his contract. 34, international goalkeeper. If he's happy there to sit there and work properly and be a proper number two, then I guess they're happy to have him as cover for Tim Crawford.
Steve Wells, grapefruit juices on me one night during the season. Thanks for that, I appreciate that. What do you think of the new EE advert? Good point, Steve, because we kind of brushed over that question. What do you think of the new EE? Do you like these sort of things, Spud, when they rock up on your telly?
I don't understand the criticism that Delia gets all the while. She's got to earn her pennies. I know you might say she's got millions and all that, but, and at the same time, more importantly, I think she's trying to promote the club. And if she can try and persuade Kevin Bacon to buy some shares, you never know.
Well, why not? We've got other stars in the boardroom. It's quite interesting that she's managed to get herself into an EE advert about the Premier League. I thought that was kind of BT Sports coverage. Mm. BT Sport don't have the Championship or the EFL. Meanwhile, Sky are calling it the Wilderness. So, you know, it's a funny old place for the EFL at the moment.
True. I guess Mr. Humphrey may have had something to do with getting her involved. But fair enough. For Delia, you know, like you say, is representing the club. I, my brother, actually, who lives in Prague, so isn't sort of in the same sort of TV run as us, had somehow noticed it either on the internet or on TV over there, and sent me a message on Twitter today to say, have you seen the Delia advert on E? And he quite enjoyed it as well. So I quite like the line, get in there when she stuffs the turkey. So I think it's quite well executed, and as with previous times, Delia said that she's sort of shown that she's quite willing to have a bit of a laugh at her own expense. So I've always been a bit of a Delia fan to an extent in terms of her personality, but some people are sort of steadfast in their criticism of the board, and they just don't like that approach, and that's their point of view. Fair enough.
Okay, Richie Temple asks the key question: will the bus turn up on time at Sheffield on Saturday? I hope not. It is, of course, Bramall Lane on Saturday for the Disrespect Derby, and it is a good reason as any to bring this out. Here's what annoyed Chris Wilder the last time City headed north to face the Blades.
Dear mate, where'd you start? They're not putting the team sheets in at quarter two. Well, they put the team sheets in at quarter two, but they didn't have... was there a big crash around Sheffield this afternoon, about 1 o'clock?
A lot of traffic, yeah.
A lot of traffic. Get there a bit earlier than that and find out. What you do is get the coach driver to do his job. Get the coach driver to do his job, right, and find out that if you're in the city centre, there might be a bit of... There might be a bit of traffic around the football ground about half one. Because you know what? There might be about 28,000 turning up for a football game. So do your little bit of homework and possibly set off 10 minutes earlier or 15 minutes earlier. They went to crash on the M1 or the A14 or whatever. They were up here tonight or up here yesterday, in Sheffield today, if they were in Sheffield today. Get to the game on time and get the team sheets in. Show the opposition manager and the opposition captain and the referee and the fourth official and the linesman and the assessor a little bit of respect. So that's my first one, quarter two, not there, on my own. So that was my first one. Sat in the change room at half time when the referee had blown the whistle and my players were out on the pitch. That's number two, come out on time. And obviously I'll let you make up your mind on how people set their teams up and how we set our team up and what we're here for and what it represents.
Probably goes down as one of the greatest video clips we've taken for the Pinken. I think you'll agree. So worth getting that one out again. It'll be very interesting what the atmosphere is like on Saturday, won't it, Dave? Because that was quite a feisty one. And obviously United came down here and won in January and then said it didn't mean anything to them whilst giving both barrels to all the fans.
Yeah, it will mean a lot, Michael. And hopefully the coach driver will have prepared this time, because I mean, it was pretty pathetic, wasn't it? They lost and he was a bad loser. That was Neil Warnock Mark II, as far as I'm concerned, former Sheffield United manager, of course. it was wonderful to watch that day, actually. I mean, Yannick Wildskut scored the winner, which is strange to look back on, but I remember Angus Gunn really reveling in winding up the United fans, just taking a little bit of time with his goal kicks and things like that. Madison as well. And it was nice to see a little bit of a nasty streak from the Farker team after, obviously, the troubles that had been at the early stage of the season. So, yeah, that's what you need. There will always be a big atmosphere when you go to Bramall Lane. They're always going to be desperate to win, and they're always going to be a difficult team to beat.
And that's nothing better than upsetting the locals, is it?
Which did most definitely happen that weekend, goodness me. Let's have a look at your 11. So how do you guys think the Norwich should take this on? Because, of course, we've had the League Cup game as well, so we've seen a few extra players in action. Who should we go to first, Dan?
Dave
Freezer, I'm going to assume that is.
Yeah, two Daves. I've looked at this long and hard, and I'm still not totally happy. I looked at getting three at the back and going 3-4-3 with Pukki and Hernandez either side of Rhodes, because I quite like the idea of McLean, Tetti and Leitner as a three in midfield. I think that's quite nicely balanced. I think that probably suits McLean nicely, but I just can't quite work it to where I'm happy with it. So I've stuck with a 4-2-3-1. I'm going to give Ivo Pinto another chance at left back, because frankly that's all they've got at the moment. But I would say to him, don't go bombing forward like you were last week. That was unnecessary anyway. He didn't need to be going quite as wild as he was, and that means you stick with Ben Marshall there. So I think McLean sitting slightly deeper with Tetti would suit him quite nicely, and equally I think he's sort of someone that could do with a little bit of guidance as to exactly what Daniel wants from him, just to hold a position a bit more, because he buzzes all over the shop a bit like Leitner does, and I don't think you can really afford to have two players going everywhere all over the pitch. So yeah, I've gone with 4-2-3-1. I want Leitner nice and close to Rhodes. I want him looking to play those key passes, and the main thing that I'm looking for him to do now the rest of the season is to show some goal threat. We need to see that from him.
Spud, let's have a look at your 11 as well. I got a bit creative with your descriptions for the formation, so see if you can explain it away.
Well, I thought it was quite simple, really. Similar to last week, and just changing Steepman and Godfrey. I felt Pinto felt out of place on the left-hand side, so I've replaced him with Steepman. Tetti, and I'm a fan of Tetti. I thought he felt a bit soft in the second half on Saturday against West Brom, and we know what Godfrey's strengths are. And I think he'll be well up for Saturday, starting in the Championship. And I think he'll be a big man for Saturday and replacing him. Got to keep with everyone else, because I think most players did play fairly well last week, especially the Hernandez and Marshall. So hopefully they can provide and Rhodes make up and get one over the Blades, being a Owls.
Yes, indeed. There'll be quite a bit of stick for him. It should be quite lively in that respect. It's weird, isn't it, that we feel like it's a side that is going to score a fair few goals in it, and it's almost keeping them out at the other end that seems to be a worry. I mean, again, the pressure they'll come under at Bramall Lane will be pretty intense, I'm sure.
It will, and they're going to have to score goals, but I mean, if you offered it to me right now, I'd take a draw. A draw and then first win of the season over Alex Neil's Preston on Wednesday night under the floodlights. That sounds like a good way to get the season up and running for me. So, I mean, to be perfectly honest, talking about Godfrey, I probably wouldn't be worried if Tetti and Godfrey both started the game. Be solid, make sure you're in that game at half time at Sheffield United, and try and nick one like they did last year. I don't think it'll be an easy game at all, although you look at their squad, it's nothing compared to West Brom. It's nowhere near as strong as a West Brom, so it's a delicate balance to be struck, but yeah, I would definitely take a draw as we sit here.
And they've also had an indifferent start themselves, Sheffield United, and conceded a fair few goals, so it will be interesting how they deal with all that. Brilliant stuff. Let's have a last look at your messages, shall we? Thank you for all of these throughout the evening. Lawrence Mybert, I can't wait to see Emmy getting a go. Emmy Buendia, of course, I am 100% with you, Lawrence. I cannot wait to see him get some championship action. Congratulations, Emmy, by the way, who's just become a dad, so that's all good. Sort that bit out and then come play some football. You shouldn't take your long speaking from experience, hey?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. What else have we got? Robert Crane, what a loon Chris Wilder is. That's very true, Robbie. Very true. He also says, will we ever see Marshall push further up the pitch? Not convinced he's a right back. I'm not convinced either. Would you rather see him higher up the pitch?
I do like the position that he's playing, the wing back plan. We won't be trying to do that formation off the wing backs, and I think he plays it quite well.
Love it. Lee's final question. Key man for Saturday and predictions. Key man and predictions. Dave?
Key man at the moment has got to be O'Neill Hernandez. I mean, if someone's going to create something, if someone's going to get that Bramall Lane crowds back up and really worried, then, you know, he's almost playing to the point where he's unplayable at the moment because he's so confident and so quick. So give him the ball.
You took my lines because I was literally going to say everything about O'Neill and saying about how he's going to frustrate the Blades fans. So, yeah, he's going to be my star man and hopefully he'll be setting up for more goals.
And the score will be...
1-1.
I can't say 1-1 as well now, can I? Yeah, I'm going to go 1-1.
I love all that, Jen. Thank you so much. One absolute pleasure. That is it from us for tonight. Thanks, Dan. It's always good to point to the camera. Remember, you can catch this show and all our superb Norwich City coverage on our Pinken Facebook page, YouTube channel, but of course, first and foremost, pinken.com. I'll be at Bramall Lane on Saturday alongside Paddy, David, and of course, David Freezer. So make sure you keep tabs on pinken.com for all our build-up, team news, live coverage, reaction and analysis. And if you see us around, make sure you say hello. That goes for City's visit from Alec Neil as well, and Preston North End next Wednesday evening, which of course means there will be no Pinken show next week, and we will return on Wednesday, August the 20th. Keep moving the camera around, Dan. We will return, this is important, on Wednesday, August the 29th, live again here at the Wallpack on Golden Ball Street in the centre of Norwich. So please join us, be it in the flesh or online, of course. And it's worth adding, if you want us to come to your local pub or cafe or chilling room or lounge, so do invite us around everyone's house. Simply send us an email to thepinken@archant.co.uk and we'll do all the rest. Keep the suggestions coming in. It is a long season and lots of places to visit. In the meantime, a big thanks to our guests tonight, to Dave and to Spud. Thanks, gents. Top work. Thank you to the Woolpack and, of course, to the crew, to Lewis on debut with his floaty camera gimbal thing, and Dan with all his directing gizmos and booing. Not of me, thankfully. And of course, to you guys all for watching and getting involved. We will see you again in a fortnight. Let's hope a few points follow in these three games before then. Otherwise, Wesley Moulahan is going to start getting grouchy. Plus, where's our bell? Good night.